Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the CC Radio Podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylights out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe, Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight I'm joined by Eric, and Eric joins us all the way from the United States to tell us about this haunted apartment that he had to rent while he was attending college over in the Texas State University. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me on.
Nah, man. Thank you for coming on. It's very, very rare that we get someone from, I guess, across the ocean joining us here, because a lot of our stories are so Australian-based. But, you know, I'm always down to hear what's happening over in your part of the world, mate. So tell me about this apartment that you basically rented in, and it was very, very haunted. Tell me about this.
Yeah, no problem. So basically, the year I went to Texas State, or the year I was a freshman, the college had run out of space for its students because they pretty much accepted too many people into the college and they didn't have enough dorms. So what they did was they got a certain quota of kids, and the rest of them, they had told them, okay, you know, y'all are going to have to go find apartments on your own. And sadly, I was one of those students. And so I had gone out looking around at different apartments. Well, I found this one, and it was conveniently close to the university. And so, me being, you know, young, naive dude, you know, it cost a little more. But, you know, I was like, okay, let me just get it, you know, hop on in. Well, I got it, and I was there for about a few days, like one or two at least. Oh, no, not even, two or three. But I had gone in, and nothing seemed out of the ordinary at first, just a normal apartment, you know. The classes hasn't started yet at this point, and essentially, you know, you had students all over the this apartment complex, just, you know, making noise, you know, having a party, because, you know, just having a party, you know, it's fine. But my second or third day there, I can't really remember, I was sitting watching some Netflix and just got done talking to my mom, and hung up, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna go to bed. At this point it was about 11 o'clock, 10:30, something like that. And every night before I went to sleep, I always locked my doors. And my front door had three locks, two which you could access from the outside, and one that could only be unlocked from the inside. So I locked those three, and I had a balcony, and I locked that, and I had my bedroom, which had one lock. And mind you, I'm in a one-bedroom apartment, so I'm all by myself. Now, so I went and brushed my teeth, went to bed, and just fell asleep. Well, so I woke up at around 3:20-something, and it was a specific time. I'm just going to say for the sake of just consistency, I'm going to say about 3:27. So it was at 3:27, and I woke up, looked at my phone. There's some notifications there, and you know, it's like, okay, whatever. Well, I looked at my door, and my door was like one of those up down handles. So it's like, you know, you have to push down to get in, or whenever you released it, went back up. Well, so I saw it was in the down position. I said, well, God dang it, you know, like, man, you know, the spring might have came off, you know, I don't know. God dang, I call maintenance tomorrow. And so all these things are running through my head. And so I'm like, whatever. Well, it slowly went back up. And I was like, well, you know, what the heck? You know, is my mind playing tricks on me? Because I could see it perfectly because I had a security light right next to my window beaming in all these rays of light through the through my blinds. And it slowly went back down. I could hear that click like someone's trying to get in. And I'm like, well, what the heck? And so it just goes back up, goes back down, goes back up. I'm like, oh my God, someone's trying to break in my apartment. So I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. Like, okay, what the balls am I about to do? I don't have any weapons. I don't have anything. You know, I left my wallet, laptop and keys to my vehicle on my bar outside. So if someone's trying to break in, you know, that's there's some stuff right there for them to take. Well, it just kept slowly going up and down, up and down. And so finally I just, I don't know why I said this, but I said, you know, hey, you know, I got a gun. So you better freaking get out. Well, it just stopped. And then slowly went back up as if, you know, they're done. Like, okay, that must have did it. Well, just as I said that door handle went berserk. I mean, just going up and down, just constantly moving up and down. I'm like, what the heck is going? Like, this was like humanly impossible to go that fast. Like, I couldn't even see the handle like anymore. It's just a massive blur. And I'm like, oh my God. So I'm just sitting there stunned. And like, it's doing that for a good 10, 15 seconds. And, just as that started, you know, happening, then the door started shaking. Like it wasn't like breaking in or nothing was breaking in. It was just shimmering. And I'm like, what is going on? You know, like, I don't know what's going on. And so, finally, as soon as it started, it just stopped, and it felt like it's been going on for hours, but probably only a few seconds. And so I'm just like over there in my bed shaking, you know, not knowing exactly what's, you know, what the heck I just, you know, witnessed. Well, I had, the next day I woke up and I for some reason I fell asleep upright against my wall, you know, but it was only for about 30 minutes. And, and so I was just freaked out. Well, I looked at my phone and I just to make sure, you know, everything was, you know, I hadn't missed any calls or anything, because I was tone deaf to everything. Like, I was just staring at that door like super intensely. And so I knew it wasn't a dream, because the same notifications that were on my phone were still, you know, when I woke up, were still on there when I checked it again. Well, I was like, okay, if this person is still in my apartment, you know, like, what the heck am I going to do? So I'm looking around trying to find weapons. Well, I have this aloe vera plant and a pen, so I just open the door and, you know, like, you know, I'm going to throw an aloe vera plant, you know, in this dude's face and stab him in the neck with a pen. You know, I didn't know what the heck I was going to do. And so I open the door, peek my head out, nothing. Everything is still in its place. You know, nothing too out of the ordinary had occurred. You know, nothing, you know, nothing was shimmered out. The door wasn't open. None of my locks were moved. Nothing was taken. So I'm thinking, okay, what kind of person's going to break into my apartment and, you know, steal my stuff, or not steal my stuff, but just try to get into my door? You know, I was very confused on that part. Well, so I called my parents, told them what happened, and they're like, well, you know, go down, talk to them because they have cameras down your hallway. So I talked to them. They're like, sorry, you know, we can't release that information to you unless you have like a police officer with you, or, you know, you have like some written document saying that you need to see it. So I'm like, well, you know, they're useless. So I went back up and, you know, just chilled around for a good day, a few hours until nighttime eventually hit again. So I'm doing the same thing, watching Netflix, but I'm a little on edge. You know, I'm not, you know, I don't really know what I'm expecting for this night. And so, because, you know, I felt like something was going to happen. Like, you just have that feeling like, you know, something's going to happen. Well, so I did the exact same routine and went to bed, locked all my doors, looked up, you know, looking around, you know, nothing too bad happened, you know, just a bunch of college kids, you know, creating ruckus. Well, that morning I woke up again at the exact same time, 3:27, and so I was like, okay, you know, this is weird, you know, I don't know what to expect. So I'm staring at that door, you know, I'm just waiting for something to happen. Well, the door handle's not moving, nothing's going on. And then, you know, so I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's just my imagination or whatever. So I close my eyes, and then bam, just this huge crash in my living room. Like, I have nothing that can fall, like nothing that's up high where it would have fallen over, nothing. Just like dropping a bowling ball from a pretty high height and just falling on the hardwood floor. And I just woke up. I like, what the heck was that? Like, people downstairs must have heard it. And like, what? Like, I didn't know what it was. And so I sat back up, and I'm very tired at this point. I only got 30 minutes of sleep the night before. And so this night I'm just like, you know, what is going on? So I'm freaking out, you know, not really comprehending what's going on, but that was pretty much the only thing I heard. And so I opened up the door. There was no damage. The next morning, no damage, no nothing. Like, everything was still in its place. So I called them again. I'm like, look, there's something going, like, call my mom and dad again. I'm like, look, there's something going on here. You know, just, I don't know what it is, but like, I just heard like this loud crash last night, you know, like sound, you know, like told them the same thing. Sounding like a bowling ball hitting the like a hardwood floor. And they're like, well, Eric, like, did you go down there and talk to the people? And I'm like, yeah, I did. But, you know, they told me they couldn't disclose that information. So they're frustrated. I'm frustrated. I'm running on like almost no sleep at this point. And so finally I'm like, okay, it's daytime. Let me get some sleep. So I fell asleep, and I actually had this like crazy nightmare. It was just about a bunch of, like, I was in my apartment, and it was with like a bunch of like not really, it was the weirdest thing. It was like people in like throughout the entire, like, I had my buddies there, and there's people all throughout, like, the we had this bottom balcony area by the, it was with a pool and all that stuff, and there are people around there like throwing volleyballs and stuff like that. And just then eventually what had happened was both my friends jumped out my balcony window and like essentially just hit the ground, and people are all just like freaking out, and I woke up in cold sweat. I'm like, what the heck, you know, like, oh my god. So I was freaking out at that point. And I'm like, well, I can't get sleep because, you know, I'm going to have nightmares or, you know, just I couldn't get sleep nonetheless. And so at this point, nighttime came and this was the worst night of it all. Well, I did the exact same routine. This time I'm literally on edge. Like I can't even go to sleep. Well, eventually, you know, exhaustion takes over and I fall asleep. Well, I fall asleep and I wake up again at the exact same time, 3:27, and I'm looking at the door, waiting for something to happen. Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. And I look at my phone and I'm like, okay, well, let me just play some game. There's a game that I can't remember what game it was, but I was playing a game on my phone and so eventually I just turned it off because, you know, I essentially fell asleep and never exited out of my game, but just turned my phone off, put it on my this little desk I had next to my bed, and I woke up again at like 6 o'clock, and at this point, you know, you would see like the sun shining in, stuff like that. Well, I open my eyes, you know, everything's okay, close it, open them again, and it's pitch black. I mean, I can't see anything. Like, I can put my hand, when you're sleeping, you can put your hand in front of your face and you can see the outline of your hand. But here, I couldn't see it at all. Like, I couldn't see anything around the room. I couldn't see, you know, anything. And so I'm like, oh God. So I started praying the Our Father just over and over and over again. Like, you know, just Our Father, Our Father, Our Father. Well, I could hear like this chattering, you know, like Alvin and the Chipmunks, like that pitch, just like talking like right, like in my left ear, like, you know, and so like just talking to me. And I'm like, what the heck is that? Well, you know, and then I hear another one, like something's having a conversation. It's like, meow, 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 meow. So it's just having this conversation. And so I kept praying and praying, and then more of them started popping up around. And eventually it sounded like they were laughing at me. And I was like, oh Lord, like this is bad, you know? Well, I just kept praying and praying, and it's getting louder and louder, the laughing and chattering. And then eventually I hear this deep rumbling voice. You think that's going to help you? And that, I'm not going to lie, I peed my pants because of that. I was so scared. I just, oh my God. But like the deepest guttural voice you can think of, like just, oh God, that scared me. Well, so I woke up and I called Tad, and he's like, Eric, you know, you like, I'm going to come down there. So he came down there and, just sprinkled holy water across the entire apartment. And after that, nothing happened, but this might be just a coincidence or just like maybe even a fluke. But, when I was exiting my, my door, you know, and was going to class one day, I had seen one of the maintenance guys working on one of the rooms one of my next door neighbor's rooms, and everything was dark in there. I didn't really get a good glance because I don't like, you know, looking at other people's stuff, but I am almost certain, just out of my peripheral vision, that I saw a pentagram, you know, as a wall thing on there, as like a, you know, I guess a wall decoration on the room. I didn't know, that might be a coincidence or just maybe even a fluke, you know, might not mean anything, but just, and I'm like, okay, you know, what the balls. But yeah, and I had talked to all my neighbors. I said, you know, hey, do y'all have stuff happening to y'all? And the one across from me said, yeah, you know, I've had stuff move around, you know, doors open and close, and you know, that, you know, small stuff like that actually started in my apartment, but I didn't take it as anything. I thought, you know, oh, it's me just being stupid, you know, like, oh, I, you know, I misplaced this or I left my door open or, you know, something like that. You know, I didn't really take it as much, but Pretty much my neighbors had the exact same situation. You know, like they misplaced stuff, or, you know, they close doors, but they come out open, and it's just like, yeah. And so that's pretty much the story.
Wow, Eric, that's intense, mate, because there is so much to break down here. For starters, mate, what was going through your mind when you, this kind of essentially started happening the first couple of nights you're in this brand new apartment? Was this a bit of a shock to you?
Honestly, it was, because I was not expecting any of this to happen. You know, it was like, you know, you would think in a, because this place was fairly new too. Like, it was built 5 years before I had moved in there. Like, it was a fairly new building. So I can understand if it was an older building, you know, may have some history, but this was a new building. So I was not expecting this, like, at all.
And was this your first time living away from home as well?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Oh, wow. What a welcome to the real world then.
Oh, yeah.
Mate, yeah, that would have been absolutely terrifying, because, like, let's kind of break this down in order here, because that first real encounter that you had there with the door handle shaking and it kind of going to, you know, like those almost inhuman type of speeds of it kind of moving, and then the whole door rattling, that would have been, I'm not going to lie, mate, I would have been absolutely terrified in that situation, because you just don't know what's going on there. And with it especially being in your bedroom door, considering that you've had so many other, I guess, security locks to get to that position, I couldn't imagine what was running through your mind, because, you know, you don't know what's on the other side. You don't know if there's a group of people, if there's a madman, and, you know, it just continues on to be, you know, quite apparent, some very high level kind of poltergeist activity happening.
Yeah.
I have no words, mate. I couldn't even imagine being in that situation, because for myself, I would have been absolutely petrified.
Oh, it was terrible. Like, I was trying to rationalize everything, because I don't like essentially just going straight to, oh, it was paranormal stuff. You know, let's try to piece things together before we get to that point. Well, you know, nothing was making sense. Like, there's no way a person could have moved that handle in that way. And also, you know, even if you had a group of people, there's absolutely no, I can understand the door shaking, but not at the speed of, because I even tried it going as fast as I could, and you can still see it, but this thing was just constantly going up and down. And so, yeah, I was terrified, man.
Were you, what were you thinking at that time? Were you just kind of so tired that you weren't really comprehending what was going on, or were you more so worried that you were in danger? And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Well, it was a bit of both. Like, I knew that I was in, like, immense danger. And so when I'd already said that I was not going to move from my position on the bed, because if I did, that thing squeaked louder than a mouse, man. Like, that bed was, oh, it was just so loud. Just even moving an inch, that thing went, you know. But so I knew that trying to move or trying to better my safety wouldn't be, you know, just available, you know, at that time, because I would just make tons of noise, and then maybe if it was a person, it would notify them that I'm, you know, awake or something like that. But Also, I was really tired because, you know, I just wasn't, you know, and like, I know I didn't imagine it because it was way too real to be like, you know, imaginative because, you know, I could, like I said, I checked my phone for before and after, and the exact same notifications were on, or the exact same notifications I had received were still on there. And, you know, the security light was beaming. Like, there was actually one ray of light that was directly on the handle and door, and a bunch on the door itself. And so so I could see a pretty good, you know, image of what was going down. And so, yeah. So, yeah, to answer your question, it was a bit of both, essentially. But I couldn't really do anything for safety because I didn't really have much of anything.
Yeah, no, of course. And I know that situation. You're stuck on that bed. You don't want to move because you feel like anything you do is going to just make that situation worse, because who knows what was on the other side. You know, in your mind at that time, you could have been thinking, geez, if I move here, it's just going to bust through the door, whatever this is.
Mm-hmm. That's actually exactly what I was thinking. And so
it's what I would have been thinking.
Yeah. No, I tell you what, I was freaking out, man. Like that right there, just telling you that story, like just giving me chills, like, because I'm just pretty much reliving exactly what was going on in that situation.
Yeah, no, I got chills the entire time you're talking to me about it, because I just would be absolutely terrified being in that situation, and, you know, being out of home for the first time ever, and this is the first place that you move into, is the worst luck of anything I've really heard, because who's to know that they're doing pentagrams in the room right next door next to you? That would have been a real light bulb moment, because the encounters that you had in this house, they just seem so violent, essentially, to put it, because a lot of hauntings are kind of residual, but this all almost seemed to have a little bit of sentience to it, because it was actually, I guess, reacting to how you were acting.
Yeah. And after the whole, I pretty much prayed myself to sleep that last night. And, you know, just when I, like I said, when I woke up, called Dad, and, you know, he had gotten some holy water from this local church and, you know, put it all over my wall. And, so after he did that, nothing else happened. Absolutely nothing. And
was that against the wall where your neighbor had the pentagram?
Yeah, it sure was. And we put it on all sides of, like, the entire apartment. We put it all over, but primarily, this was even before I walked down that hallway and saw, you know, the pentagram. This was like before that. You know, he came that day, and so, but I told him to primarily focus on this wall. Don't know why I told him that. You know, just told him, hey, can you focus on this wall, and then we can work our way around. And so, yeah.
That's interesting. Did you think there was kind of like a sixth sense telling you that the negativity was coming from that way?
Possibly. I couldn't answer that, but just something, it might have been a sixth sense, because something, like, I don't know. I just knew that. I just told, you know, I'm just like, okay, hey, you know, just like, I'm not getting good feeling, you know, over here, you know, because if you think about it, everything's happening on the outside and coming in, you know, this way. And so I was like, okay, you know, maybe something's coming on over, you know. I didn't know myself, man. Like, I wasn't really thinking too much into the situation at the time. I was just, you know, more livid, you know, just, I didn't really have many things to think about, just for my own safety, and just, you know, honestly, I was just freaking out.
Yeah, I can imagine the mind was just kind of swimming with thoughts and emotions, and, you know, just trying to, you know, act normal from something like that. That would have been an almost impossible thing to do. it must have felt incredibly infuriating to get no support from the residents that you live in to potentially offer some, I guess, closure to what was doing this for you.
Yeah, that right there, I was pretty ticked off. I wasn't really comprehensive. I mean, I can understand, for security, not really security reasons, but for privacy reasons, you can't use it. But, I really wanted to know exactly what was going to, if something had actually broken into my house or someone broke into my house. Because, I highly doubt so, because, like I said, there's one lock that you just cannot access from the outside. And so that right there was a red flag for me. Like, okay, I don't really think it was a person, because, like I said, it's either that or you get in on the balcony. But I was on the fourth floor, and so you'd have to get through, three other floors, and then get to mine. And what's so special about my floor,
Yeah, they really got to be dedicated to get up there.
Exactly, and so. Yeah, so I really, I was really ticked off about that, for the longest time. And then I started thinking, like, okay, then started to rationalize everything. Okay, I live on the fourth floor. There's plenty other apartments, so why only target mine? So, and that was sort of like a, maybe like, okay, would it have helped seeing the video, or would it be more of a pain? Because if I would not have seen anyone in the or would not have seen anything come into, or anyone come into my apartment at that time, then I would have just raised more questions.
I just don't really know what to say to a situation like that, because to kind of go through that process of elimination, go, well, no, it can't be someone breaking in. It can't be this. It can't be that. At what point do you start to go down that paranormal route, or, what could this be?
Yeah, like, that crossed my mind almost, almost immediately, but I didn't really want to take it to that extent yet, because I have had some experiences in the past, but nothing to this extreme, like, nothing at all to this extreme. And I started thinking for the longest time, like, am I going crazy? Because, I was the only one that saw this or experienced this. And, so I'm thinking, I'm becoming a Looney Tune myself, But then I started rationalizing, okay, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I've never done drugs in my life, I've never done anything. Like, I'm as clean as a whistle, but, and so I'm just sitting there like, okay, is my mind playing tricks on me? No, I've never done this before in my life. I've never thought of any of this before in my life, or, nothing like this. And so I'm like, okay, well, that just leads me to one thing, which is more paranormal. And so finally, when I got to that, it's like, well, there's your regular, like you said, there's your regular hauntings where it's just like playful stuff, and then there's your more sentient stuff.
Yeah, the stuff that kind of has an agenda to it, and that's what this seemed to have, because these encounters, they're not just these standard bumps in the night. These are made to terrify you. I wouldn't know why that is, if there's a purpose, if this thing feeds off fear, or your fear is what kind of, gives it life, or anything like that. I don't really understand the whole pentagram side of the paranormal, because frankly, it's so foreign to me, and I wouldn't really know where to start with that.
Yeah, I had actually brought that up with a buddy of mine who his mom has like a really, I'm not going to say she's a medium or anything of that nature, but she had essentially had lots of paranormal stuff. And I had told him my experience, and he had told me, he says, well, one thing that she's told me before is that when it comes to this negative energy, you know, negative entities, they essentially like to, a lot of them like to test your faith, essentially. Like, even if you're non-denominational, you know, not even Christian or just anything in general, just your faith, whatever you believe in, they're just testing it, you know, seeing how far you would go with it until you reach your breaking point, and then you essentially become vulnerable. And so that's what I got from it. You know, I can't really confirm it, but it's always something to think about, you know?
Yeah, and that's really terrifying. If you genuinely think of it, something that is trying to break you down for whatever reason, and it makes me think, what comes after that?
Yeah. Yep. And that part, I can assure you, it's probably not very pretty.
Yeah. No, I think you're right there. It's it's a thought that I think a lot of people probably wouldn't like to have, but yeah, maybe let's save that. So you move into kind of day two of these encounters, and you hear these huge bangs on a huge bang on the floor.
Yeah.
And that would have been quite concerning, considering the events that happened the night before. You said that you were pretty sleep deprived because of the encounter that you had there. Was this starting to play in your mind a little bit, with thinking that, geez, am I making this up? Am I hearing things that aren't happening?
Like, at that point, when I heard after I heard that bang, I was like, okay, you know. At the first moment, I was freaked out, and then after nothing happened for a period of time, I started thinking, okay, was it people above me? Was it people below me? Or, you know, just like again, like you said, am I going crazy? You know, but I started thinking about it, and I was like, okay, like, I can understand maybe if someone had dropped something above me and made a loud noise, which echoed into my room. But what really set it apart from everything else, this bang, was it was just too close to, like, it was too, the sound was too close to my room. Like, if you hear like a, or if you see a lightning bolt flash right next to you, you're immediately going to hear thunder. And so that was essentially the same thing here. Like, it just, I like, I'm not going to say that I felt anything like a rumble or anything like that, or like a vibration from the crash. I'm not going to say anything like that, but it was like something about it just made it way too real and just like way too, like, close, like in my apartment area, like to really just say, okay, you know, I'm like, I think I'm going crazy. It was way too real for that, for me to say that. Let me just say that.
Yeah, no, what I take from that is, like, you felt there was a presence to this noise.
Yeah.
And that really would have been kind of, I don't mean to make a pun here, but kind of ground shaking, world shaking, yeah, when that happened there, because, you know, the night before was terrifying, and then this happened, and then you move into this day three where it almost seems like you're having interactions with what is causing this.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I just, that at, moving from night two to night three, it, yeah, that right there just was a big change, because I really wasn't you know, I didn't really expect that to happen. Like, for one, I've never, you know, had that happen to me before, but it, I don't, like I said, and we back to, relaying what my friend had told me, it sort of made sense, because whatever this thing is essentially just trying to test me and see how far I can go before eventually just breaking. And here, you know, hearing all those loud, you know, Alvin and the Chipmunks, you know, high pitched, you know, talking, I guess you would say. I'm assuming they were talking because they were saying something. I don't know what the heck they were saying, though. It was some kind of language I've never heard in my life, man. Like, they were formulating some sort of sentence. It wasn't like random clicks and chatters. It was a high pitched it was a high pitch something, but I don't know what the heck it was. And but yeah, and then just bleeding into that deep voice, just, you know, that right there set everything off for me. But yeah.
What was your reaction to hearing that voice? Did that suddenly just push you over the edge? Did that just make everything a little bit too real?
That right there made it very real for me. I wouldn't say it pushed me over to the edge, like, per se, but that right there essentially just, like, you know, it made everything, you know, made everything real. I'll tell you that much. Just, I don't know, like, it's hard to formulate what I was feeling at the time, because it was just a mix between fear and honestly just curiosity. Like, what the heck was that? You know, because like I said, I've never ever had that happen to me before, where I've just randomly had this crazy thought. And ever since that day, I've never had, you know, anything happen to me after that. And so it leads me to believe, you know, okay, I don't really think I was going crazy, because, you know, I've never had experience in that before, never had that after. And frankly, I've never, like a lot of people in that situation would say, like, oh, you know, like maybe it was a sleep paralysis, but, you know, I could freely move. It's just, I couldn't see anything. Like whenever I opened my eyes, I could see something, close them, open them back up. I just really couldn't see anything. So it wasn't really a point of sleep paralysis, because I could move freely. It's just, I don't know what the heck that was.
And, you know, that actually, you've kind of answered a question that I was about to ask you, because I wasn't sure if you were able to actually move, because you said you opened your eyes and it was just complete darkness. And my first thought was, I wonder if this is a case of sleep paralysis because of, you know, the extreme, I guess, emotional turmoil that you would have went through those first two nights, and having, you know, essentially next to no sleep. And, you know, it almost seems like this was kind of pushing you to the point of second guessing yourself in that sense, because potentially whatever was going on here knew the state that you were in, and this was its I guess prime opportunity to I guess have that type of interaction with you. And as you said, it had a pretty profound effect on you there before, and to come out of that and just it kind of just disappear, that would have been just as, I guess, terrifying as it all starting again, because what's to say that this isn't going to just happen again to you?
Exactly. Like that you know, that thought actually had run through my mind, you know, what that about 2 weeks after this experience, I told you I was talking to my friend, and on the drive home after, you know, visiting with him, I was thinking, you know, about that, you know, about that, those three nights. And it, you know, I was like, okay, you know, what's to say this won't happen again? Cause it's pretty weird that it would just stop on a dime. Yes, I can, like with the holy water, maybe that might have done something, but, you know, I've heard like a lot of experiences where, you know, entities would latch on to its host, I guess you would say. And, yeah, I'm like maybe waiting for its perfect opportunity. I can't really confirm that, man, but it was more mind boggling than anything else. Like just starting from nothing and then just stopping, you know, and then nothing happens afterwards. So it's just like, where does, you know, what's to come next, essentially?
Yeah, where does it go in the meantime?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a thought that can keep you up at night if you think about it too much. So, Eric, I have to ask, what do you think was going on in that apartment? You've had some time to obviously think about this probably over and over and over 1,000 times. What do you think was going on there?
You know, I had thought it, like, yeah, I had thought about that quite a lot, you know, and maybe, you know, I had done a little investigating myself in the meantime, and I had asked, because there was a person that lived, because this is a student apartment, and there was someone that has been living there for three years plus, just trying to get their bachelor's out of the way. And I had actually talked to her, and we used to bump into each other in the hallways, and I had talked to her. I said, "Hey, who lived in my apartment?" I asked her this like months and months after, you know, this experience had happened. And I said, "Hey, what had happened here?" And she had said, "Well, before you had moved in, you know, there was this guy, you know, there was a guy that, you know, used to live here almost, he seemed like a normal guy, but just her and her roommates had every single one of them always got bad vibes from him. Like, he was a nice guy, everything like that. Just, they always got bad vibes from him." And it's like, okay, like, and that, after she told me that, it sort of gave me chills, honestly, because you have this normal guy, you know, that just lived in this apartment and essentially, you know, just a nice guy, but you just get these weird vibes from it. And that right there is like, okay, weird vibes, you know, okay, maybe there's something like you said earlier, that sixth sense, you know, that's telling you, okay, you know, what's really going, you know, like something's telling me to just stay away. And so that, you know, that right there just like set off a lot of red flags for me. And so I stayed there a few months afterwards, and then eventually just moved out after my lease ended. But yeah, and so I really do think, you know, something demonic had happened here.
It's a terrifying situation that you went through, and, you know, the real world is, you know, leases, you have to stay in there until your lease is done. You know, most people would just say, "Look, I'm going to pack up and leave after that." But, you know, the real world doesn't work like that. And, you know, you still had school, you still had everything that you needed to do in that meantime. And to go home to a place where you've encountered the, you know, the worst of the worst when it comes to, you know, something terrible happening, that would have just been something that you absolutely did not need within your first year of, you know, of kind of college education.
Yes. Yeah, it was definitely not something expected, to say the least. But yeah, really, it really was not something that I was hoping to see or experience. But you know, I guess in the midst of all things, you know, I guess I'm glad I'm more aware that something like that happened, but. In the meantime, you know, you could just imagine me coming back to the apartment every day, just expecting something to happen, always on edge.
Yeah, yeah, I could imagine anxiety levels would have been through the roof. It would have been one of those things that you just would have dreaded going home to.
Oh, yeah, like it was terrible.
Well, Eric, I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing those encounters. I mean, What a terrifying couple of days to really go through, and just the aftermath of having to always go back there, and, you know, just ask yourself, is something else going to happen today? That would have been a really tough time. So thank you so much for coming on and you know, deciding to share those stories with me. I really do appreciate it, mate.
No, it's all good, man. Anytime. Thank you for having me on.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe. And you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.